Democratic Senators Claire McCaskill and Jim Webb wrote the original legislation that established the Bipartisan Commission on Wartime Contracting, and they say the new bill they introduced yesterday is a response to the findings the commission made in its final report late last year.
I know I am very grateful to the members of the War Contracting Commission for their service. Now our job is to make sure that they don't become one more report on a shelf, to gather dust and to have a book spine that is never cracked. We want to make sure that the report that they have issued works its way into the culture and fabric of the Pentagon, of our military, and of the people at the State Department, so that we know that the money this country spends on protecting our national security is being spent carefully and cautiously, especially when it comes to contracting.
The commission found that the U.S. wasted somewhere between $31 and $60 billion to waste, fraud, and abuse in wartime contracts during operations in Iraq and Afghanistan, and made 15 recommendations aimed at solving the problem. One area the commission called out was insufficient oversight of contingency contracting in the Pentagon. In line with the recommendations, the new bill would establish lead inspectors general for contingency operations in the state and defense departments during wartime. It would also put the Office of Management and Budget in charge of figuring out how to pay for overseas contingency operations and advising the president on the matter.
We want to elevate oversight responsibility. We want to require the government to identify how it's going to pay for military operations overseas. We want to improve the contracting process through greater transparency, competition, professional education. And we want to institute additional provisions for contractor accountability. What we don't want to do is add a lot of bureaucracies, add a lot of paperwork, add a lot of complication to a process that is already cumbersome. And we believe that this legislation strikes the right balance.
Along the lines of contractor accountability, there are several get-tough provisions. Acquisition regulations would be written to automatically suspend vendors who are accused of crimes connected with a wartime contract, who owe money to the government in connection with a wartime contract, or who are accused of fraud in any federal contract. McCaskill says she and Webb determined that suspension and debarment officials were held back by bureaucratic handcuffs that kept them from using those tools effectively.
The process of determining whether a suspension was appropriate and all of that, and then the debarment, that the weight of those processes were weighing down the ability to hold contractors accountable. I mean, it kind of comes under the category that we found repeatedly that we were giving performance bonuses to some of the contractors that weren't performing very well. I have no problem with giving performance bonuses to contractors who are executing their responsibilities very well, and there are many that have. But what we found was that just the culture was everybody got a performance bonus. So all of this is under the headline of setting up a structure where there is someone who's in charge of this during a contingency and giving the acquisition personnel the adequate tools to make firm and fast and, frankly, speedy decisions to suspend contractors that are bad actors.
DOD, state, and the U.S. Agency for International Development would each have to designate one official and a full-time staff that does nothing but handle suspension and debarment. And that organization would have to be completely separate from the department's acquisition functions.
Suspension and debarment decisions should be made somewhat in isolation based on the facts. It shouldn't be someone who is subjected to, well, we can't suspend them because blah, 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 blah. Or, well, let's give them another chance. You know, this is so-and-so I've known for years. Those are the kinds of decisions that you need to really look at the objective information available. What was the contract provision? What was the activity that has caused the problem? And does it rise to the level that a suspension or debarment is appropriate? And I think this is one place where having some separation will make for more objective decisions in a more timely way.
The bill has other provisions contractors object to. For example, it would put limits on the length of war zone contracts, 3 years for competitively bid awards and 1 year for non-competitive awards. Also, it would only allow one tier of subcontracting in wartime contracts, and vendors would lose their rights to include their own responses to the government's description of their past performance in federal databases. Nonetheless, Webb says their legislation is not anti-contractor.
This is not about bashing government contractors. I think it's very important to say that. They're an essential part of our national security. The legislation that we put together is good government legislation. It is a reflection on the importance of the contracting process, not a recommendation that we do away with.
In hearings just after the Wartime Contracting Commission released its final report, DOD officials sought to reassure Congress that they were working to improve contingency contracting. As Frank Kendall, the department's acting acquisition chief, testified in October.
The department, I think, has got it. We have got the fact that when we do an operation like this and we put contractors out there in equal numbers roughly to the soldiers we put on the ground, we've got to manage them just as effectively.
McCaskill and Webb say they agree. DOD has made tremendous strides since 2007 when overseas contracting scandals prompted the creation of the Wartime Commission, and they don't doubt the department's sincerity when they say they're working to improve.
You know, there's always a tension between the legislative branch and the executive branches of government, but I think this is a legislation that would be beneficial to their process as well and not burdensome in terms of adding more people to the bureaucracy or any new offices or things like that.
And part of the problem that I do believe there's a sincere desire on the part of our military leadership to do a better job on contracting. But part of the problem is one of the questions, and we've all had one of those aha moments as we've worked on this subject matter. One of my aha moments was trying to get someone to say they were the ones responsible for contingency contracting. And if you can't identify who's responsible for it, you can never get accountability because it'll always be this. One will be pointing at the other, will be pointing at the other, will be pointing at the other. And that's really what this does. It provides a framework without a lot of additional burden to say, you know, we've got someplace now that we can look to hold people accountable when contracting goes bad.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.